Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We're going to read verse 22 and verse number 23. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you again today for the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you for your goodness once again. And Lord, we sure need you. We need you as a church. We pray, Father, for the upcoming program. Father, please glorify yourself through it. And Lord, just honor yourself and help those folk who's working with this, Lord, to just do the very best they can do for your glory. We also pray for our revival meeting coming up. Lord, we need help. And we just ask you, please, Brother Hightower, Lord, bless him and help him. And Lord, give him those messages that we as a church needs. Help us be receptive. And then, Lord, tonight, though, we need your help. We need your power. We need your wisdom. We ask you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. Verse number 23 talks about the garments. It says pulling them out of the fire. And it even talks about hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. We're going to preach tonight concerning pulling them out of the fire. And then we're all going to take a little while and talk about the garments spotted by the flesh. You know, we've been quite a lengthy time on the book of Jude. I believe it's been helpful. I believe it's been good for us as a church. And I believe it's certainly something that God wanted us to do. I know we talked about the compassion. Oh, we need compassion. Need compassion for lost souls. Need compassion for one another. We also talked about the fear, some saved by fear. And we talked about that last week, preached about that, the need, you know, to be honest with folk and show them. And some people need shook. They've just went so long in their sin that they just don't take anything serious anymore. And they need to be shook, you know, with the word of God that it's serious business. But tonight we're going to talk about pulling them out of the fire. I just happen to believe, I know we got one firefighter in here. I know Brother Eric Harrison deals. Anybody else ever done any firefighting? Is anybody else? Brother Raleigh, did you do some? It must be something to be able to do that and to have to do that sometimes, some of the things you get into. But I was thinking about that, Brother Eric. I was thinking about you because I knew you had. I don't know if you've ever had to go in and pull someone out or had to do that or not. I don't know. But we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. You know, I believe every soul winner, I believe everybody that witnesses, I believe in everybody that takes the time to witness to somebody about Christ and they become a Christian is like a firefighter pulling someone out of the fire, snatching them from the fire. You go back to the book of Genesis and you read the story of Lot in Sodom, and you find out that there, you know, the angel, if you remember that, the angel even had to take him by the arm and lead him out of that city. He was lingering, the Bible says. He was lingering. He was warned. He was told he was going to be destroyed. And they got him out and his wife and his two daughters. And right after they got him out, it rained fire and brimstone upon that whole area there, Sodom, Gomorrah, and the whole area of the plains there, and destroyed it. And I was thinking just about, you know, a short time after he was out of there, it rained down fire. He was snatched from the fire. Right. Snatched from the fire. Right. I believe that's the way it is when a soul's saved. They're snatched from the fire. You know, I've led people to Christ when and they didn't live very long after that. I don't know where you've ever had experience or not, but I've led people to Christ and just haven't lived very long after that. I mean, Brother Lee, you've heard me talk about him before. I think it was 2 weeks after he got saved. He was in heaven, just snatched from the fire. And I just kind of believe that we need to get back to a little bit of reality tonight. And once again, I'm trying to stir your hearts. I don't know what anymore it takes to stir people's hearts. I've talked to the Lord a lot about this, and I've just come to the conclusion all I can do is preach, do my best to present what's there, and trust that folk will allow God to stir them. you know, and get them where they ought to be and be stirred about this thing on soul winning and doing something for God. Over in the book of Revelation, the 20th chapter, it speaks of the lake of fire. You're familiar with that, you know, and it talks about fire and brimstone. And the folk there was tormented day and night forever. It's amazing. Think about that, forever. Tormented day and night forever. And what I want to do tonight is just kind of try to hope to awaken us a little bit concerning this. My Aunt Lavorne, she's the only one left in my immediate family. I'm talking about Mom's immediate family and Dad's immediate family. We have no one else. I'm talking about like brothers and sisters. I know they have their cousins and people like that. But my Aunt Lavorne, she's 88 years old. And we hadn't seen her for a good little bit, so Donna and I decided on Monday we was going to drive up to see her. We needed to do that. We have not seen her for some time. She's 88 years old, and so we called her, said, "You're going to be home?" "Yeah, I don't go anywhere." "Yes, I'll be home." She's a feisty, crusty old girl. I'm telling you, she is. I mean, really, she is. And so anyway, "Yes, I'll be home, Bobby. You come on up here and see us." And so we went up there and visited her for a while. And she lives in a kind of an elderly folk. I would start to say old, but I wouldn't call her old. I mean, no way. Elderly folk. And she lives in one of those apartments, ground floor type thing. And, you know, and we went in and sat down with her and talked with her for a good little bit. And went out and got some food and brought it back, and we ate together and just had a good time, enjoyed ourselves, and spent some time with my Aunt Lavorne, 88 years old. Probably won't be around. Well, I don't never know. With her, you just don't know. And but anyway, she's doing real good, doing fine, but she fell and busted her nose and busted her head. Just got a big old mark up here, you know. But anyway, she was sitting there, we was talking. She was telling me a story I never heard before. She said it was her husband's, I think, sister, if I remember right, and her husband had a couple of young boys. And they was out in a barn playing. And what brought this up, I was telling her where she grew up, Aunt Lavorne grew up, and my mom grew up. We used to go there, it's right outside of Jamestown, and all the cousins that would come together, and we'd go out in that barn, play out in the hayloft. I mean, we just had a time. It was a big, big old barn, a lot of hay in there, you know. We'd get in there and play and swing on the ropes and all them kind of things, you know. I was telling her about that. She said, "I remember that well." She said, "Did you ever hear the story about?" And then she told me who it was, and I said, "No." And she said, "They were playing in a barn one time." Said it was fresh hay. They just got it in there, and they said they was playing in a barn, and said that it was hot, terribly hot. And said, "That thing caught on fire. I don't know whether some of you know it or not, but there's enough heat generated out of new mowed hay and baled hay can start a fire." I don't know if you knew that or not, but it can happen, and it did. And one of the boys was up kind of in a high place away from over, and the other boy was down at the time and it started, and one boy got out. But the other boy burned up. He burned up in that fire. She was telling me, I didn't know this. And she was telling me how he burned up. She said, "Oh, it was terrible. She said, time the mother and dad and all of them got there, all they could do is sit and watch it burn because it just went up just fast. You know, he's burned. A fellow was telling me about it one time. He was helping get a burn victim. And he said he picked him up. And he said the flesh just come off in his hands. Flesh come off in his hands. He said, the person was telling me, said, you know, just the flesh melting off of the finger like candle wax would melt. Just melt." And I got to thinking about that. I was thinking about what Lavorne told me, and I thought, what a terrible way to die. It seems like to me it would be. And then you get to thinking about it, and you think about, why cannot we translate this real thing that happens all the time? Why cannot we translate that into the spiritual? And for some reason, we Christians have trouble doing that. Right. You know, we're devastated over people who die in fires. You read it in the paper, and we're devastated over it. You think about it, you think, oh, how terrible that is. And it is terrible. It's a horrible thing. I know there's people, I've never, there she is, Nancy was in a fire. And I think her son, probably Kevin, wasn't it? It kind of helped get you out of there. If it wasn't for Kevin, she probably wouldn't be here today. If I remember the story right. Is that about right, Nancy? Nancy was in a fire and couldn't get out, and Kevin, her son, helped her get out. There's other people here who's had houses burned. Who's had houses burned? I know there's people here. This young man down here, Brother Raleigh, had a house burned. Nicole had a house burned. Yes, this young man back here. You've had your houses burned. See, and I know. Yeah, back here, Glenda Allen, you had what? One or two?
Two houses burned.
Fires are terrible. I mean, they're horrible things. But why can't we, for some reason, to think of the horribleness of actually burning in a fire like that? Why can't we translate that into the spiritual? Because there comes possibly a short time when a person is dying in a fire. Hopefully, it usually is not too length of time, because they suck all of that fire and that smoke and everything into their lungs and probably do not last too long. But when we talk about the fire, the eternal fire that God talks about, it's forever.
Right.
I mean, it's forever. And for some reason, we have trouble translating that. We don't feel I don't think we really feel all of that like we do for someone who burns up in a fire.
Yeah.
Amen? I want you to go with me to a few scriptures, just a few scriptures. Go back with me to Revelation 14th chapter. God talks about there in Jude, snatching them out of the fire. That's basically what the word there means, snatching them. We got to take them out of the fire. Snatch them out of the fire. In Revelation 14, verse number 9, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture unto the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. You're talking about, folks, torment that will go on forever and forever and forever. Never cease. Day and night. This is not somebody who burns a little while in a fire on earth, which is horrible and terrible. This is someone who's going to burn forever and ever and ever. You get a hold of that? Go with me over to the book of Revelation, the 20th chapter. Verse number 11, 20th chapter, Revelation. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, and which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now you got to take that and believe what God says about that. Everybody who was not written in the book of life will cast into the lake of fire. Is the lake of fire real? Is it a lake of fire, or is God just fooling us? Is it a lake of fire? You understand what I'm saying? And every person whose name is not in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. You agree with that?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go back to the book of Luke. I know you say, well, I know where you're going now. But that's all right. Just a moment. Luke 16 chapter. Won't take us long. I want you to read it. I want you to listen. I'm going to read a lot of verses, but I want to read verse 22. Verse 22. And he says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Now, you've read this, you've heard that preached, you've read it yourself. You probably cringe when you think about it, but here's a man that was, the story was told back when Jesus was on this earth, so we know 2,000 years that he's been there. He's been there, and he's tormented in the flames, begging for a drop of water to cool his tongue. Now, folks, you've heard these things before. What I'm trying to do is get them to become real to you. For every individual that is not written in the book of life will absolutely, absolutely experience that. And there will be no end. The Bible all talks, if we read on down in that story, there will be no end to it. It'll be forever and ever and ever. So that man is still there in the lake of fire, or in hell right now. We'll be cast into the lake of fire in hell right now, burning, tormented in the flames. Now, do we believe that? See, the problem is, it's what I'm thinking. I don't know if we really believe it. I think we do with knowledge. I think with our heads. I don't think anybody here is going to say, no, that's not true. But do we really believe it's happening to people around us? See, what I really believe is this. I believe we've lost a burden for lost souls. We've just kind of passed this thing off. And we've lost the burden for the lost. I preach to my people all the time. You don't know how much I love you, but I love you. I care about you. I really do care about you. But I want one of the things that I'm concerned about for all of us is we're not really burdened for lost souls. You see, for some reason, hell's not hot anymore. It's just not hot. We don't really believe that it's hot. You think about it. Now, just right now, put on your mind just for someone who lives around you or somebody you know, maybe somebody you met, maybe it's a relative, some a friend or somebody you know that's unsaved, and imagine that if that person dies without Christ, what will they do for eternity? They'll burn. No, they'll burn forever and ever. Now, we would. You've heard me say this before. We'd do everything under the sun to get them out of a burning house. Yeah. Yes, we would. We'd do everything. We'd call the fire department. We'd go in. We'd try to get them the best of our ability. We'd do everything we could to get them out of there. And yet there's people all around us that's going to hell, and we do nothing.
Yes. Right.
We absolutely do nothing.
Right.
So hell, I think, is not hell hot anymore. I think we've kind of forgotten it even exists. You see, what we do is we're mad. We would get mad at a Jehovah's Witness who says there is no hell. We would get mad at that fellow. But I want to tell you, we're just as bad when we act like there's no hell. Oh, we'd scream and holler and say, yes, there is a hell. I believe there's a hell. If there is, then what in the world are we doing? And you know what a lot of the mentality is? Let somebody else do it. I don't have to worry about it. Let somebody else do it. Let somebody else do the witnessing. Let somebody else tell them. I made a determination many years ago, and my wife knows this. I said to myself one day, self, who is going to tell your family about Jesus Christ? Who is going to do it? And God said to me, you are. Now, that all sounds good, and that says, you know, we can say, oh, boy, that's good. But, you know, it's not enough to talk about it. I made a determined effort. I know my wife knows this. For years and years, I've made a determined effort to get the gospel to my family. I've done everything. Well, I'm not going to say I've done everything I could. I never think that's probably true. But I have got the gospel to my family. I've sat and witnessed to them face to face. And you know what? I think it's about time that we got a burden like that. Who else is going to go care about your family? And you know what? There is sometimes you can't reach your family. I know that. They may be across the United States. I realize there's times when they won't even talk to you. But what I'm saying is somebody has to reach them. We have to have a burden for them. But most of the time, we could do it if we wish to do it. We need to get a burden. Amen? Need to get a burden, folks. Now, I'm serious about it. And then there's friends that we have. I mean, people we know that when I say friendships, we may not be close, but we know them. And they're on their way to hell. And to keep their friendship, because we're afraid if we say too much, they'd get mad at us. So what are you going to do? You're going to drive them into a second hell somewhere? Preach to them. Tell them the truth. You're the best friend they've got if you'll tell them the truth about Christ. You see, we've got to get off of this stuff that it isn't for us to have to do that. You know, or maybe they get aggravated. So what? They get aggravated. Folks, they're going to hell. They're going to burn forever. You understand what I'm saying? God says, snatch them out of the fire. Snatch them out of the fire. You know, I think sometimes, and honestly, I worry about this sometimes. I think we soothe our conscience around here if we see some bus kids come up these stairs or some other time and get saved. Now you say, Brother Ross, are you for that? You know I'm for it. We spent 30 years running buses, and I'm for it. And I love to see little bus kids get saved. But I want to tell you something. Don't let that soothe your conscience, because you see a bus kid once in a while get saved here. Your responsibility doesn't end there. You and my responsibility ends when we have told the adults also and everybody else besides bus kids about Christ. We can't just be having, oh boy, somebody got saved at church and I feel so much better. Well, I feel good too, but folks, we ought to get a burden. We ought to have a burden concerning the folks that's out there that is lost. Amen. Snatch them out of the fire, God says. Snatch them out of the fire. I'm going to go over... into 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. I'm going to, hopefully by Sunday I'll have it done. I'm going to get me a little thing here to bring this up a little bit on the pulpit and making that thing so it'll help me so I won't have to lean over like this all the time, okay? So be patient with me. I'm getting that. It's a dual purpose thing. I'm going to have it so it'll help me get my eyes up. And then when Jessica sings, I'm going to take it off and set it down here and let her stand on it. Boy, that's rotten, isn't it? Amen. Yeah, here's Jessica. I love you, Jessica. She don't love me anymore. But anyway, maybe that'll help me. The 5th chapter, verse number 14 of 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now, folks, God talked about the love of God that Paul talked about the love of God that constrained him. I mean, it encircled him. It held him. That's what kept him going. And you go on down, you read that we become ambassadors for Christ. That's what he's talking about. It's the love of Christ. He makes us ambassadors. The ministry of reconciliation is given to us, Paul said. Well, what makes him do that? The love of God constrains him to do it. Amen. You see, and something ought to constrain us to do the ministry of reconciliation. And that's getting people saved. Being the ambassadors for Christ. Amen. Something ought to get a hold of us. And constrain us. Amen? You know, when I think about that, I was thinking about Peter. Now, we taught in our Sunday school class Sunday we was talking about Peter, you know, and going to Caesarea. He was in Joppa and going to Caesarea, and how that God worked and he sent an angel and talked to Cornelius and said, you send for Peter, and he's over in Joppa, so you send for Peter and you go over and get him and send for him, and he'll come and he'll tell you what needs to be told, you see. And of course Cornelius did that. Cornelius sent some men and over to Joppa to get Peter. And I think I brought this out, but it's always amazed me. I said to myself, why in the world, there was the angel, why didn't the angel go ahead and tell him? The angel was there. Do you know from Caesarea to Joppa is somewhere in the vicinity of 30 miles? Why in the world is Peter got to walk 30 miles? Why did he have to send men 30 miles to get Peter? Angel, why don't you just tell him? You're there. He's the one told him to send for Peter. You know what the answer to that. That's not God's plan. God's plan is men who know Christ and women who know Christ and boys and girls who know Christ is to go wherever they have to go and tell people about Christ. That's God's plan. See, and we wanna just sit around home. We want to come to church and figure that's serving God. You come to church to get filled up, which I hope you're getting tonight. I hope you're getting stirred up tonight. Amen? You see, and that's good that we do that, but folks, this is not what it's all about. Here in these walls, this is only where we get filled up. It's like going to a gas station and getting gas, and then you take off and you go. You see, we need to get a burden for this thing about soul winning and witnessing for Christ. People are dying and going to hell every single day. And God's going to hold us accountable for it. Blood will be on our hands if we don't witness and tell people about Christ. Now, you can just pass that off if you want to, but God isn't going to pass it off. I've known Christians who's been saved for 20, 30, maybe more years, never witnessed to nobody. Yeah. Now that's a shame.
Right.
Just don't witness. Don't tell anybody about Jesus Christ. And those people around them are going to burn in a devil's hell forever and ever and ever. You understand? Don't you think it's time we got busy for God? See, you don't have to run out here and I mean, we do that on Saturdays. We do that on Wednesday with you. You don't have to run out here every day and knock on doors. I think it's a wonderful thing anytime you do. But I want to tell you something. You better be busy about witnessing to people God brings before you. And you also ought to be going out here and doing the door-to-door. You ought to be a part of it. You ought to be a part of the witnessing program that we have at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You need to, and we do it on Saturdays. Our bus people do it. I'm saying to you, you need to be a part of it. You have no excuse not to be. None. None. People are burning. Or soon will be. Because of a terrible hell that's there waiting. I'm simply saying to you, don't you think we need a burden? Amen. Say, well, I'm exempt. Please bring the Bible and show me where you're exempt. Please do that. Let me know where you are exempt. Amen? Amen. Now, I want to take a few moments. It won't take a long time, but I want to take a few moments. We go back to the book of Jude. He says, pulling them, I used the word snatching it, them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I wanted to share with you, when he talks about a garment spotted by the flesh, he's talking about the unsaved. He's talking about those who know not Christ as their personal Savior. When he talks about Christians, he's talking about the garments that are white, they're clean. And the reason that is true is because we have upon us the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And his righteousness is spotless. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, let thy garments be always white. And the garments there he's talking about is the righteousness of the saints. Folks, you and I, in our own fleshly body, will never have pure white garments. But the unsaved are spotted by the flesh. They are sinful, they are lost, and they've never had the righteousness of Christ because they're unsaved. Okay? So the Lord is telling us, and I think it might be good if we went over to Romans, the 7th chapter, just for a few moments. Romans, the 7th chapter. Look at verse 5. I'm just going to read that. But for we were held that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Talked about in verse number 5, it talked about to bring forth fruit unto death. Why the flesh was talked about the motions of sin. He's talking about the lost folk. When a person was lost, he's spotted, his garments are spotted with the flesh. He's sinful. He can't be anything else. You understand? He's sinful. And so God is saying to us, and I believe, we have to be very careful. I believe that that's what the Lord is trying to warn us about here in Jude, that we have to be very careful as we deal with the lost. And I'm going to show you and give you an illustration what I mean in a moment, but I want to go first of all back for just a moment or two back in 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. The 5th chapter, and I'm going to start reading at verse number 9. I wrote unto you in the epistle not to company with fornicators. Now, did you hear what God said? God said for us not to company with fornicators. And here he's talking about the lost, and I'll show you why I believe he's talking about the lost. He said, don't you company with them. Don't you be a part of their life. Don't you do that. You stay away from them. And he says in verse 10, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetors, or the extortioners, or the idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. He says, you know what? You're going to have to be around them. You're going to have to probably work with them sometimes. You're going to have to meet them. You may have to wait on them in a store. He said, you'd have to go out of the world to not have any contact with them. But he's talking about having contact in the way of having fellowship or spending time with them and being around them. Becoming what they are, basically, is the danger. And I think you've got to be very, very careful in your dealing when you deal with the lost that we don't become what they are. Now, here's what he said in verse number 12, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? For them that are without, excuse me, I didn't read verse number 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or a covetous or an adulterer or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such as one, no, not eat. He said, if there's someone who claims to be a brother and he's acting like that, living like that, don't have company with him either. If they're living like that, then don't have company with them. In fact, he goes on in verse 12, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? For them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among you yourselves that wicked person. I'm just simply saying to you folks, in our dealings with people, you've got to be very careful. And I'll give an illustration in a moment, but you've got to be careful how you deal with people. The lost are out there and they're always wanting to entice you to become what they are. Now, let me make another statement. The carnal Christian is out there wanting the spiritual Christian to become carnal. Now, you believe it. The carnal Christian wants to talk and do in any way to entice someone who's over here trying to love God and walk with God. That carnal person who is worldly and doesn't want to walk according to the Bible will do anything to entice and pull this person down to where they are. Every time they'll do it. They want you pulled down. That's why you hear their conversation. That's why you hear their gossip. That's why you hear them talk about other people and down on other people, because they want you to be where they are. They want you to join into it. You got to be careful. And you got to be careful in your dealings with the lost.
trying to win them sometimes, you'll almost become what they are. That never been in the Word of God. See, that's what the liberals do. They want to say, well, we got to become what they are so we can win them. That's absolutely untrue, unscriptural. You tell me that Jesus ever came down and was what the lost and the sinners was. Never. But yet he spoke to them and tried to, done his best to win them unto himself, but never become what they are. Years ago, and I would say it's probably back in, probably around 69 or early 70s, I don't know, I can't remember, but it was around that time, there was a man by the name of Bob Harrington. Some of you have heard of Bob Harrington. He was called the chaplain of Bourbon Street. Many, many years ago, you've heard about him, and some of you have never heard about him. You don't know anything about him because it's been too many years ago. But around the time that Don and I, we got saved in 66, and I would say it had been right around 70 or somewhere in there, we went over to Fairbanks to hear him preach. He preached over there in Fairbanks. He was drawing great big crowds. I don't know if any of you here went over there, but I did, and you may have went other places to hear Bob Harrington preach. And God was using him in a great way. He was out of New Orleans, and he was called the chaplain of Bourbon Street. The reason I'm hesitating there, I was going to tell you, I was using him as an illustration as a young preacher, and I called him the Bourbon of Chaplain Street. I did it. Yeah, I did. And everybody done what you done. They laughed. But anyway, he dealt with those. He would go right into bars and work with those, and was doing, honestly, a very great job. He was winning people to Christ, and he also worked with the prostitutes. And the word came a few years after that, I don't remember what it was, that he got caught up in that sin. Now, I'm not telling you anything. He would tell you if he's here, and I don't even know if he's alive anymore or not. But he got caught up in the sin. He got drawn in to that which he was trying to help. And, of course, it ruined his ministry. And then a few years later, I don't know how many, I can't remember, he went back then and into the ministry, went around telling his story. He never was what he was before and never would be. But he did tell his story and warn people about the danger of that. And what I'm saying to you is, you got to remember something. You better hate the garments stained with from the flesh, spotted from the flesh. You better hate the sin that spots those garments. You better despise the sin and hate it and preach against it and stand against it. Or you, there's a danger you'll get all caught up in it. See, you don't never have to become what they are. Take the example of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who preached to the sinners and won them unto himself, but never, ever sinned. Amen? So be careful, because you can get drawn in. I remember so many things, but I remember a young man who told me that at Anaconda Aluminum Company soon after I'd been saved. He said he had long flowing hair. I was a new Christian and didn't have too much sense. Don't have a whole lot now. But I said to him, I said, why don't you cut your hair? You say you're a Christian, look like a Christian. Well, Jesus had long hair. And I said, that's a lie. Amen. Jesus did not have long hair. Well, I seen a picture. Do you know that picture of Solomon? Solomon was reported to be a homosexual, or I shouldn't say homosexual, a sodomite, that painted that picture 400 years after Jesus lived. They want to give us this stuff. No, I know he didn't have long hair, because the Bible teaches in the book of Corinthians that the long hair is a shame for a man. Right. Wait a minute. I'm going to get somebody mad, because short hair is a shame for a woman.
Amen. That's right.
Now, I'll make people mad there. They don't want to take both sides of this thing. The hair on a woman is her glory. It's her glory. Amen. I don't get as many amens out of that, because some of you men are afraid to say amen. I'm not trying to stir up trouble. I'm just simply telling you. The Bible teaches in that same portion of Scripture that hair on a woman is her glory. And it's a shame for a man to have long hair. So I said that to him. And, well, you know, he said, I deal with a lot of these hippies. It was during the hippie time. He said, I had to deal with a lot of them. And he said, I just kind of want to look like them so I can reach them. Never works. You don't. You look different to reach them. You be different to reach them. You live godly. So I'm just warning. I'm just saying to you, hate the sin. Now, I'm not talking about hair now. I'm talking about hate the sin. Hate the sin that's caused them to not receive Christ as their Savior. Hate the sin, but love the sinner.
Amen.
Love his soul.
Right.
Love his soul. Amen. But be careful as you deal with them.
Yeah.
It's awful easy to get drawn in to become what they are. It's awful easy for a Christian who's trying to love God and walk with God to be drawn in and pulled down by a carnal Christian who does not want the standards and the beliefs of the Bible. And they want you down where they are. And believe me, they'll do anything to get you there. So be careful. Hating it. Hating the garments spotted with the flesh. Amen. Let's pray. Father, just, and at the same time, gives us warning. Help us to realize there's people burning, Lord, getting ready to burn, already burning because of lack of witnessing, lack of telling them. So help us to get a burden. God, help us to be burdened about lost souls. And Lord, we'll ask you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.